Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Good evening, Kansas City, and welcome into the Red Zone here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Todd Lebo. We are brought to you by CBD American Shaman. We've got a nightly NFL playoff show happening for you with me before we turn it over to Joshua Briscoe every night. And Briscoe just loves that because he loves hearing me talk. Actually, it's probably not true. He doesn't care for me at all, but that's okay. We've got Red Zone for you tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday and Friday as well, because the Chiefs are playing the Bills. I don't know if you guys heard about this. It's kind of a big deal. The Chiefs and the Bills are playing in the AFC Championship game. It is the third year in a row the Chiefs have hosted the AFC Championship game. No team has ever done that before, not even the Patriots, who went to every Super Bowl forever. They didn't host them all like this in a row, so it's a big deal for the Chiefs. We have special programming all week. As I mentioned, I'll be doing a show in before Briscoe every night. And almost entirely sports. Will be a lot of sports this week because it's a big sports week. They will be almost sometimes, but it will be almost entirely sports this week. Saturday, we'll have some other special coverage for you starting after if there is a Kansas basketball game. We know how this goes. Last week, you thought there was a Kansas basketball game on Saturday, and it didn't happen, but I think they're trending towards being able to play that game. On Saturday after that, we'll go straight Chiefs coverage starting at about 5 o'clock. We will have Chiefs, all night long for you on Saturday. And what we're going to do for you on Sunday is the Chiefs play the second game, and we are Westwood One partners, so we can carry that game this week, but we can also carry the NFC Championship game. So we're going to have Chiefs tailgate, and Briscoe will have a show, and then we'll go to Chiefs pregame a little earlier than normal so we can get you that entire NFC Championship game there for you as well, because that'll be pretty cool as we get to hear Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady face off when the Packers and Bucks play in that NFC Championship game. We'll have that for you, and we will have the AFC Championship game, which will be pretty cool. Now, the big question is Patrick Mahomes going to be playing for the Chiefs in this championship game? I told everyone yesterday on the show when I was on the Border Patrol and earlier today when I was on the Zone, I think he's going to be playing in this game. We have more reporting coming out. This is the way I said it was going to happen as well. You're going to start having some reports come out from the people in the know, the Adam Schefters of the world. He had a report earlier this afternoon that Patrick Mahomes had made progress in this five-step concussion protocol coming back, and I think we will see that that's happening. I think he will probably practice in some way tomorrow. It's probably going to be called limited, and we don't even know what that means. Right? I mean, because we don't get to sit and watch the entire practice. Maybe he's just out there for a little bit to be outside. Maybe it's just individual work. He could be do not participate, but likely he will be limited in practice. I think he'll probably be limited or full on Friday. I think he'll be full on Friday. I think he's going to play. Now, that can all change because the way this concussion protocol works, step one is you got to be symptom free. So if he goes through these, physical strenuous tests they put them through, or, you know, has a bad night sleeping, whatever, bumps his head walking, getting in his car, anything like that, you could go back to step one. And there's no set time on how long it takes you to get through these steps. So it is what it is, but I think he will get through the steps, and I think he's going to play in this game, and that's the most important part. We all like the story of Chad Henne. You heard him on this afternoon with Seren Petro. He's a super nice guy, man. He loves this team. He loves the chance he's gotten to have, and he helped save the game for the Chiefs. You know, on Sunday, had the big scramble and then threw the fourth down completion, and they ended up winning the game without giving the ball back to the Browns, with them having a chance to win the game. They got one shot in the fourth quarter. They didn't get it done. They punted it back. Chiefs never gave it back to them. And Henne's a part of that. So that's good news that he's there if they need to. But you don't want to play the NFC or AFC Championship game with Chad Henne as your quarterback. You want to have the MVP. You want to have the Super Bowl MVP. That's what you want to have. You also want to have him at full strength and ready to go for the rest of his $500 million contract. So the head injuries are difficult. They're important, for sure. But I think a couple other things that are important for this team injury-wise, Bashaud Breeland is in concussion protocol as well. That's a big deal, right? He was in that game playing when they played the Bills earlier. Remember, he missed the first couple of games of the year and wasn't there, but he was back for that Bills game, helped hold the Bills to 17 points. They scored 17 and one last week. The only other time they scored 17 or fewer points all year was when the Chiefs did it. They held them down pretty good and won that game 26-17 up there in Buffalo in week six. So who knows what's going to happen with Bashaud Breeland. We don't know what Sammy Watkins' status will be. You got to figure he's better off now than he was last week, but he couldn't go last week. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, same thing. Probably better off, but I thought it was kind of a pipe dream for him to play last week, and he didn't end up getting there. So I don't know what's going to happen with him. As Red Zone goes, and you stay tuned to Sports Radio 810 all week long, and you'll get more of this information because we will have Andy Reid, whoever they put at the quarterback podium tomorrow. We'll have it all for you live during the zone and get some more information straight from the coach's mouth about that. But those are important things. Can Clyde Edwards-Helaire go? Can Sammy Watkins go? Bashaud Breeland? All important as you head down to this big, important NFC Championship game. Now, here's the deal. With Red Zone tonight, since we don't have fresh stuff from the Chiefs, I lined up a lot of guests. So we're going to take an early break. When we come back, we're going to catch up with BJ Kissel, the former Chiefs reporter. He works for Let It Fly Media now. He's got a great insight about the Chiefs and kind of how they operate, so I want to talk to him. Also lined up Jordan Dejani from CBS Sports to kind of break down the Chiefs and the NFC game. And a couple times this week, I want to talk to our good friends at KSHB Sports because they've got a lot of special programming coming up this week. Sports director Mick Schaefer is, you hear him all the time on the zone. We love Mick. But I talked to Mick. I said, let's get some of your other guys on. So tonight, Aaron Ladd will join us about his time here in Kansas City and what he thinks of what's going on with the Chiefs and some of the great programming that they have. They just got off the air with one of their nightly specials. So we'll have some of that coming up for you as well as we talk to Aaron Ladd. So we are underway on Red Zone, brought to you by CBD American Shaman. We'll be back with BJ Kissel right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back into NFL Red Zone Playoff Edition, American Conference Championship Game Playoff Edition here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It is a big week. The Chiefs are getting it after it against the Buffalo Bills, and our next guest tonight is a familiar name and face to a lot of Chiefs fans. It's B.J. Kissel, who was the Chiefs reporter for 7 years, 6 years, B.J. Kissel. First of all, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, Todd. How are you doing, man?
Doing great, and you made it through the Super Bowl last year, but you moved on to Let It Fly Media, which I know a lot of people around here are excited about, and you are too. You're doing a lot of the business development work with athletes with Let It Fly, a Kansas City company who makes great videos, and you still do a Chiefs podcast with our good friend Nick Leckie called Outside the Trenches. So you know what's going on with the Chiefs, so we wanted to talk to you this week about all of that. First of all, real quickly, how are you enjoying your new gig with Let It Fly?
I'm loving it. It's a smaller company. It's interesting to I spent 6 years writing just about the Chiefs and those players and just athletes at that age, and then all of a sudden to open it up to other sports and other ages and working with brands and distribution platforms and TV stations and all that. It's been really exciting. It's definitely different, but it's cool to work directly with the players and help tell their stories and kind of help build their brands in that way that I wasn't able to do as much of before. So I'm really excited about it. It's going really well so far.
And you still do a Chiefs podcast. You do this with Nick Leckie. You did a Chiefs podcast before for the Chiefs. How is it different to do a Chiefs podcast when you don't work for the Chiefs? It's a little bit different, right?
I think everybody expected me all of a sudden to start, like, I guess I swear a little bit more than I did before, which I have to apologize sometimes. But it's really not a lot different just because I was pretty much myself there. I'm optimistic Chiefs. I grew up a Chiefs fan, so that bias was already in there. And so I'm always going to be optimistic. The glass is half full. But, it's the same show. It used to be called In the Trenches, and now it's called Outside the Trenches since we're not there anymore. But you know Nick well enough. He's pretty self-deprecating and doesn't take himself too seriously, and neither do I. So it's fun just to talk with him after the games and kind of get our perspectives on what we thought about the game without getting into too much of the X's and O's or anything like that. Just kind of the big storylines and what we see, and just kind of tell some stories from his playing time and my, you know, time just being around the team.
Well, it's pretty easy to be optimistic about the Chiefs for the last several years because it's been nothing but good times. Now, listen, they've only won one Super Bowl, but it hasn't been the dark days from before you arrived and before Andy Reid arrived. Let's say Andy Reid arrived and things changed, and then B.J. Kissel arrived and they went all the way to the Super Bowl. Well, let's say it that way. That's fair, right? But it's been pretty easy to be optimistic. This team's been great. And I think you're an interesting guy to talk to because you got to see really more firsthand than most of us in the media because we couldn't see a lot of things that were happening here and there of what Patrick Mahomes began as and what he's kind of turned himself into. it's been an incredible story from a guy who had to sit and watch for a year and learn from a true professional in Alex Smith to the MVP to the Super Bowl MVP. It's been something to see, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been special. And I think, you know, it's been talked about so much. But whenever I think about, you know, when Patrick Mahomes first arrived, Alex Smith and what he did for him, I know that that's put out there a lot, and a lot of people think it'll be a cliche or he just has to say that. Alex, from the first day of training camp, I'll never forget walking around in the cafeteria one day after like a morning walkthrough or something. And it was Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes sitting at the lunch table by themselves. And I walked by and I just heard Alex explaining something to the effect of how many different things you can do out of a bunch formation in the red zone. And I just remember, like, and Patrick was just sitting there almost, I don't know if he had a pen and paper in his hand, but just he was looking so intently as you could just see the information being downloaded. And I remember going back and thinking, like, all of that talk that Coach Reed gives about how good Alex has been for Patrick from the moment he was drafted throughout OTAs and mini camps and all that, to get to training camp and to see it made me feel good to know, like, when he gets up on the podium and he says those things, like, I see it happening. And now for Patrick to be doing what he's doing, I don't think physically it was a huge surprise because you saw that ability, but it's the mental stuff that you give so much credit to not only Alex Smith for how he taught him, but then Matt Nagy and Mike Kafka and Eric Bieniemy and Coach Reed for developing him in a way that, that put him in this position for him to understand from a mental perspective how everything comes together. I don't think he'll ever get enough credit for how smart he is about the game because we're all so caught up in the highlights and the crazy plays that he makes.
Well, he's worked so hard. We know that. The thing I loved from him, and we saw a lot of him because we watched a lot of Big 12 football around here. I saw the amazing throws and all that stuff. But what I liked him right from the get-go, the number one thing he said to do was, I want to win, right? Y'all play to win. I mean, everyone likes stats and scoring touchdowns and checks and, you know, endorsements and all that stuff, but nothing means anything if you don't win. His main focus has been win, win, win. He didn't do enough of that in college because it's amazing to me that there's what is now an NFL coach in Cliff Kingsbury and the best player in the National Football League, and they couldn't even make a bowl game, right, in his last year. It's so crazy to me that that happened. But you get in the right spot, and you have that attitude that he has. His attitude is outstanding. He works as hard as anybody. You hear a lot of people say that, but it's true with him.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. He's earned everything that he's gotten. And he's just a football, like, nerd. Like, he was always thinking football. I'll never forget, Todd, it was one of those, like, you know, back when we could be in the locker room. I should think you guys could be in the locker room since I'm not there anymore. But I remember asking, it was like K-State was about to play Iowa State. And for anyone who's listening, one of the PR guys, Brad G, is a big Iowa State fan. They were getting ready to play. And I just said something like, hey, what do you think about, you know, the Iowa State, you know, game this weekend? And he said something like, oh, they're just going to play cloud cover three, and he's got to run these. Like, he just explained all the routes you have to run. I was like, that's not how normal people speak about an upcoming game.
Yeah.
Like, he just, it was so football oriented. That's just, that's the way that he thinks. It's that beautiful mind that, that he and Andy Reid seem to converge together that has created this special thing that they can have those conversations about the game and they see things in the same way, which has led to all the success that we've seen. And that so much more of it is the mental side of it. I know you know this, Todd. You've been around for so long. That it's not, the physical things can only take you so far. The reason that he's as special as he is because of his mental ability of knowing how to read defenses, knowing how to check, and just all those, the feel for the game and how to draw guys off sides and things you normally see from a veteran that we were seeing from a 24-year-old starter that was way advanced compared to what we expected him to be, particularly coming out of Texas Tech for all the reasons that you mentioned.
B.J. Kissel, the host of Outside the Trenches podcast, not inside anymore, Outside the Trenches, former Chiefs reporter and one of the business development and college guys. That's what's your official title with Let It Fly Media?
I'm the director of athlete content.
Director of athlete content with Let It Fly Media. They do some great work here in Kansas City. Talking about that beautiful mind of Patrick Mahomes, everyone in Kansas City was holding their breaths, collective breath, on Sunday afternoon when he got tackled, was woozy when he got up, never returned to the game. We've got some reports this afternoon from Adam Schefter from ESPN that he has cleared some big steps in this concussion protocol that, you know, concussion's a word that's a dirty word in the NFL that Coach Reed still hadn't said yet this week, but it is what it is. He's in the protocol, and he's working through these steps. It's five phases, and you're going to see this everywhere now. No one really knows if you can do three phases in a day or if it takes one day for each phase, whatever. You've been in and around the Chiefs, and you've seen how they kind of handle these things. What do you expect this week to be like for Mahomes as they should return to the practice field tomorrow?
That's the million-dollar question, and I'll answer it the best I can. It'll probably end up being obsolete tomorrow when he's out there practicing or whatever. But, you know, I had Aaron Boardman, who spent 12 years with Andy Reid as an athletic trainer, both with the Eagles and then came with him and Rick Burkholder here to Kansas City. And so I brought him on because I'm not going to pretend to know, and I don't want to say the wrong thing either. But he brought up the five phases like you did, and that they typically didn't like to do more than one in a 24-hour span. Particularly when it comes to like the physical exertion and kind of how players respond from that. So I was under the impression that I wasn't expecting to see a full participant from Mahomes all week. And so I don't know what that means for him as far as sitting in meetings and how much of that part of the things that he can do, depending upon if there are symptoms or anything like that. But just because, as you said, there's so many different things you have to go through, I don't think anyone should be alarmed if he doesn't practice tomorrow or if he's not a full participant, just because, like what you said, he's got five stages he's got to get through. And like Aaron told us on the podcast, you know, they typically don't do more than one in any 24-hour span, which means, you know, 5 days starting from what would have been Monday. So it would be Friday at the earliest if they did one every 24 hours. So I think it's going to be kind of wait and see, but I'm not going to get caught up in all of this stuff this week because, and I will preach this until the end of time, that there is no benefit for the Chiefs to come out and say Patrick Mahomes is going to play. So I know fans want to hear that, but from the team's perspective, from Coach Reid's perspective, they don't have to say that. And there's no benefit to telling the Bills that Patrick Mahomes is definitely going to play. And even if they pretend,
right,
they prepare like he's going to, there's still that indecision, that doubt that you can keep in your mind, and that they see that stuff as valuable, Todd, whether we do or not. That's how they feel, and that's not going to change.
B.J. Kissel is our guest here on Red Zone on this playoff edition. And, B.J., this is something that I think you can answer this as well as most people can who are in and around the team who aren't like a coach or a player. One of the most important parts of concussion protocol is the player has to be honest, right? Mm-hmm. You can look at an x-ray and see if someone has a broken leg, but you can't look at a person and ask if your head hurts, okay?
Right.
Players can lie. They can, you know, we've seen this. I mean, I remember a game before all these protocols changed where they were chasing Jamal Charles around the sidelines, trying to get him to answer the questions. Dude wanted to play because that's what he did. What does Patrick Mahomes strike you as far as that goes? I know his life and his future and all that stuff is super important, but so is playing, being a teammate, yeah, legacy, trying to win another Super Bowl, all those things. You know, there's no given that you just get to go to the Super Bowl every year. Prime example is Aaron Rodgers, been to one, right? He's going to be playing this weekend as well. Where does Patrick Mahomes fit on that scale of like, dude, I'm going to be 100% honest about these things and do it right and not try to trick myself or the doctors into getting back on the field?
Yeah, that's a million-dollar question, and I don't even know if I'm prepared to be able to answer that one. I can say that Patrick Mahomes is one of the toughest dudes that you're going to. You can't play quarterback in the NFL, and you can't do the things he's doing without being one of the toughest dudes. So those guys are always going to want to play. And any player who easily says they don't wouldn't be at the level that those guys are. And so I'll give the benefit of the doubt to those guys 99.9% of the time that they're always going to want to play. But that being said, Patrick Mahomes has enough people around him that are helping him make these decisions, people that he'll lean on and listen to. And he's got a great core group of people around him to make those decisions. And I fully trust Rick Burkholder and all those guys to do what's in his best interest. So I actually asked Aaron that exact same question of, you know, how much of this concussion protocol and all these steps can a player just lie his way through? I mean, is there some test where they can put, you know, sensors and they can tell that there's still something going on? And what Aaron told me was that the physical exertion stuff that they put him through to see how they respond, if there are any symptoms, will show up very obviously, mm-hmm, whether a player wants to lie or not when they're going through this conditioning stuff that they do, because they really run them hard to get their heart rate up, to do whatever they got to do physically to see if they're okay. And so it's like you can lie about it initially a little bit, but they literally put steps in with the physical exertion stuff to kind of offset a player lying, because as we know, these players want to be on the field. This is a tough game. It's a violent game. These guys want to do everything they can to get out on the field. But that being said, with all of the information that's out there now, I don't expect Patrick or anyone around Patrick to advocate anything that would put him in a bad position.
And it's for the best, right? It's to protect the players from themselves. It's also to protect the coaches from putting someone out there in harm's way. I mean, there's a good reason that they have independent people in charge of this stuff.
Yeah, they can't nowadays. You know, they can't put these players out in these negative positions with their agents and information and social media that if you're intentionally putting players in bad situations, it will go very public very quickly.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be messing with players in that kind of way. So I know it's easy to talk about, and it's easy on the outside to say, like, this would make sense in this way. But when you look at it from the other point of view, and Aaron said this very clearly, like, as an athlete, you don't want to put a player in a bad position that goes out there, gets more injured, and then you don't have a chance to win. And you don't have a chance to keep finding that success. So I expect Patrick to play. I don't expect him. I don't expect there to be any clarity on that, but I will be very surprised if Patrick doesn't play on Sunday. But that being said, I don't expect fans to get that nugget on Wednesday when coach speaks to the media saying, yes, Patrick is going to play. I would be absolutely shocked if that happened.
Yeah, I think Friday may be the day if he's already, if he's limited tomorrow, full Thursday and Friday. I could see him saying Friday. They might still list him as questionable, right? But,
yeah.
They're not going to rule him out. So I'm with you. I think he's going to play. So let's get to the heart of the matter here. Let's say he's going to play and that he's got no effect from the concussion. I think his toe's a factor, right? And I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire, whether or not he plays, is a factor as well. And Bashaud Breeland, who is in the concussion protocol as well. Those are all big factors. I don't know if they'll all play or not. The most important of those is Patrick. Let's agree on that.
Obviously,
right?
But I feel bad for Bashaud that no one's really talking about.
I know.
Bashaud Breeland and how key that is with his injury.
We've seen like 800 replays of every play of Patrick's game. And I don't even know how Bashaud got hurt. They didn't even show the replay of it. I don't know. But what do you think about this game? What's your gut feel? Hosting three straight AFC championship games, looking to go to the Super Bowl back-to-back times. The Bills, they're tough, man. Josh Allen's a big old stud quarterback. Stephon Diggs has changed that team. It's Andy, teacher versus the student thing. They've already played once this year. What's your gut feel right now? It's Tuesday. What's your gut feel on Tuesday, assuming Patrick Mahomes is going to play, on who's going to win this football game on Sunday?
I'm always going to say that I think that the Chiefs are going to win because I think they're the better team. But I think when you get to this point, you win an AFC title game, they can't play a B game and just assume that they're going to win, because the Bills are good enough that if they play their best and the Chiefs play even a notch below, that the Bills could come up and surprise you. Because, as you mentioned, Josh Allen playing out of his mind, Stephon Diggs. I'll never forget Tyreek Hill 3 years ago saying that Stephon Diggs was one of the guys that he watched run routes. And that was before Stephon Diggs was necessarily the name that he is now. He's always been good. But I remember back then just being like, okay, this guy is the technician on his route running, because that's who Tyreek is studying in the offseason. So that was a huge move. Give a lot of credit to Brandon Bean and that whole crew to make the move for Stephon Diggs. But the guy that worries me, and it's Tremaine Edmonds on that defense, a middle linebacker who can run and hit the way that he can. I'll never forget talking to one of the chief scouts before that draft who called Tremaine Edmonds the best player in that draft. And he changes that defense. He might not make every play. It's kind of like Anthony Hitchens for the Chiefs defense. He gets everybody lined up. He does all the right things as far as just making sure that everybody's where they're supposed to be and doing the right things. I think Tremaine Edmonds is one of those guys, whether it's in the passing game, the screen game, Travis Kelce across the middle, those kinds of things. You've got an athletic linebacker across the middle who can make plays. But at the end of the day, it's going to come down to, can Josh Allen make enough plays in the passing game in crunch time? And I just think, as good as he's been, he's not the most accurate quarterback in the world. He's got a cannon, and he's going to be fired up. So I expect at least four or five passes to be airmailed. So I hope Juan Thornhill is paying attention on the back end of the defense. So I expect the Chiefs DBs to get a few shots to make some plays. I just don't think that Josh Allen will be able to make as many key third down throws that Patrick Mahomes is, and that's going to ultimately end up being the difference.
You got a score for me?
Ooh, I haven't thought this much about it yet, but I'm going to say about 31-23. I think I've probably picked about that score for almost every game this year, but I'm going to go 31-23 sounds about right. I've got a lot of respect for the Bills. I think they're on their way up. They've taken a huge step forward this year. They're running into a buzzsaw right now, and these guys are locked in and ready to go. And Patrick Mahomes and the doubt, and they're going to figure out any way they can to find motivation off what people are saying this week. They're really good about that. But I expect the Chiefs to win that game, the Chiefs to go back to the Super Bowl.
Heck of a party on Sunday night if it happens. That's BJ Kissel, former Chiefs reporter. He's with Let It Fly Media right now, and they're putting out some great content, and you can always catch him on that Outside the Trenches podcast with our good friend Nick Leckie, talking football and some food, knowing Nick Leckie. All he does is like to talk about food. It's all good, right?
Absolutely.
Thanks so much, BJ, for your time, and we'll look forward to talking to you again in the future, okay?
Sounds good, Todd. Appreciate you having me on.
All right, will do. That's BJ Kissel. And we will come back right after this on NFL Red Zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back into Red Zone tonight on Sports Radio 810 WHB. AFC Championship game at Arrowhead Stadium again this year. Third year in a row. First time that's ever happened in the AFC. And to talk about it and a little bit more in the NFL from CBS Sports, we've got Jordan Dejani on the line. And first of all, how you doing tonight, Jordan?
Hey, thanks so much for having me on. I'm doing well. I'm looking forward to Championship Sunday and talking all the stuff that comes along with it.
Yeah, it's going to be a crazy week for sure. Now, we're in the midst of a crazy week in Kansas City. Let's talk a little bit about Patrick Mahomes and the concussion, non-concussion, in the protocol, out of the protocol, neck, choke out, whatever it's going to be termed. It's a huge story in Kansas City, obviously, but it's a monster story in the NFL because he's like the most famous player in the NFL. What do you make of how this has gone so far?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, just what the injury is or reportedly is interesting enough, you know, in terms of was it a concussion? You know, the replay certainly doesn't look like he took a significant hit to the head. And then, of course, there's the reports about the nerve in the back of his head getting pushed and him getting choked out or whatever it may be. So, yeah, it's an interesting storyline, especially when you consider he's the best player in the NFL. He's the heart and soul of that Kansas City Chiefs team, and they are supposed to play a conference championship game come Sunday. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting story to follow all throughout this week. But, I mean, let's be real. I expect that Patrick Mahomes is going to suit up and he's going to play and he's going to do well on Sunday. I think that he's going to be able to pass through the protocols and everything like that. And that's what we all should be hoping for, because no one wants to watch, all due respect to Chad Henne, but I think everyone wants to see Patrick Mahomes out there taking on the Buffalo Bills.
I think you're right about that. Jordan Dejani from CBS Sports is our guest. And, you know, as far as like, you know, Patrick's been in the league long enough, he does great homework off the field. They've already prepared for the Bills once. So even if tomorrow when they get back in the practice field, if he's a DNP or if he's a limited participant, I think he will be practicing by the end of the week. I don't think at this point he's someone who needs to get all the reps and do all that to get ready for a team he's already faced because he works hard. But this Bills team is no slouch. Kansas City won up there in one of those weird Monday afternoon games because of all the COVID stuff that was happening earlier in kind of a weird little misty, rainy night. And the Bills were bound and determined not to have Patrick Mahomes throw for 500 yards on him. So they dared them to run. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire had a really nice day up there. He did not play last week either. We don't know what's going to go on with him. How important is a healthy running game for the Chiefs if the Bills try to play that same way against them this time?
Yeah, I would say it's very important. I mean, that's the reason the Chiefs won back in Week 6 against the Bills. I think they had 245 yards on the ground. And like you said, Clyde Edwards-Helaire at 161, I believe. So, but here's the thing. I don't expect that to happen again necessarily, because we've seen this Buffalo Bills defense improve. And that's good to see, because their defense wasn't one of the best in the league throughout the regular season. And in some ways it did hold them back. But just looking at what happened in the divisional round against the Baltimore Ravens, they were able to hold the Ravens to just 150 yards on the ground. I think their leading rushers were tied at 42 yards apiece. So that Buffalo Bills defense really won them the game. Of course, we're talking about Taron Johnson, the 101-yard pick six. That's really good to see from a Buffalo Bills perspective. But at the same time, I think that if you're someone rooting for the Bills, you wanted to see more of an offensive explosion. You wanted to see that they could possibly potentially trade blows with the Kansas City Chiefs, not just score 17 points like they did against the Ravens. And weirdly enough, they scored 17 points against the Chiefs earlier in Week 6. So it is going to be important to establish the run, especially if Patrick Mahomes is not 100% feeling well. But I don't expect that they're going to go for 245 yards or whatever it was like they did earlier this season.
It wasn't for the Bills not trying to move the ball down the field. They threw the ball the first quarter and a half. Every play was a passing play. It looked to me like Josh Allen was maybe a little too amped up, right, and was overthrowing. It was tough conditions. It was windy. It was windy enough to make Justin Tucker miss two field goals, which is unbelievable, right? So it was a windy kind of a weird day, but he looked a little too amped up. He's already got a playoff win under his belt now. I think this game, as much as people are going to look at Patrick Mahomes and whether or not he's going to play or not, he's a little bit more of a consistent thing. You kind of know what you're going to get from him. Are we to the point yet with Josh Allen that we know what he is? Or is he someone who you're still going to have those games like last week where he was threw at a low percentage? And like you said, they scored 17, but one of those was on a pick six. Where are we with where Josh Allen is for playoff football?
Yeah, it's a good question because, you know, Josh Allen's had such a great year. I mean, it's been absolutely incredible what Brian Daboll's been able to do to open up the offense for him. He showed so many clear signs of improvement. But you're right. I mean, 37 passing attempts, 206 yards against the Ravens in the divisional round, one touchdown. Not necessarily a stat line that you can imagine that would be good enough to defeat the Kansas City Chiefs. But he does have some great weapons to work with in Stephon Diggs, John Brown, Dawson Knox. So, but I think you're right in your assessment saying that it looked like Josh Allen came out a little bit too amped up. He wasn't as accurate as he has been earlier in the postseason and to close out the regular season as well. So, you know, I think it goes without saying that he's going to have a huge game because if it gets into the realm of a shootout, the Buffalo Bills are going to have to put up a lot more points than they have earlier in the playoffs.
Now, the big difference, I think, this year for his offense, because, listen, they had a 16-point lead in the playoffs last year, and they lost, but they didn't have Stephon Diggs. He has been a real kind of steadying force, someone you know you've got out there for him. He's obviously already had big playoff moments in his life. Bashaud Breeland is in concussion protocol right now for the Chiefs, so that's a cornerback that they may be down. Diggs is someone who can exploit any defense, but maybe even one of the Chiefs that's a little bit weakened if they don't have Breeland out there on Sunday.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, Stephon Diggs, if there was any doubt about him being a true number one wide receiver coming into this year, this change of scenery has absolutely done wonders for him. We've seen him take advantage of secondaries, multiple different kinds of zones and man-to-man coverage as well throughout the year. He's a guy that can really find success against anybody you put on him. And that's a big reason, like you said, why Josh Allen has found success. I mean, this is the first time in his career, his young career, that he truly has a number one wideout, a dependable guy on the outside that can also serve as a home run hitter on short routes as well. So, yeah, exactly. Covering Stephon Diggs, making sure he doesn't explode, keeping him contained, pushing towards the middle of the field, that's absolutely going to be a point of emphasis for this Kansas City defense.
And the Bills' defense is going to have to deal with Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, regardless of what happens at quarterback, right? And perhaps Sammy Watkins could be back. We'll see. He had that calf injury last week, and he hasn't proven to be super durable. But they've had plenty of guys step in. Mecole Hardman was very good last week early. And when you have Kelce and Hill, that's a great place to start. What do the Bills have to counter them, especially with Travis Kelce, who is a difficult matchup for any team?
It's the age-old question, right? Over the past couple of years, how do you contain this explosive Kansas City Chiefs offense? Because, like you said, they have so many different weapons they can use, and then Patrick Mahomes is a pretty damn good quarterback as well. So, in my mind, if I'm the Buffalo Bills and I'm looking at what I'm trying to game plan for on defense, the first thing I want to do is try to put some pressure on Patrick Mahomes. Don't give him a lot of time to escape the pocket, to look downfield, to make those explosive home run plays that we've seen him do for the past couple of years. That's made him the best player in the NFL. I think getting pressure on Patrick Mahomes is going to be absolutely pivotal for the Buffalo Bills. And then, of course, we can talk about the secondary. Like you said, with Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, all these guys that are so fast and so explosive, and they know how to run routes, no matter if they're going on a go route or a slant route, they're going to be effective. So holding on to those man coverages is going to be pivotal as well. But they're going to have to play just basically what's going to be a perfect defensive performance if we want to see the Buffalo Bills represent the AFC in Super Bowl LV.
Okay, it's early. It's Tuesday. We don't know exactly what's happening with Mahomes yet, but what's your early thought on who wins this game on Sunday at Arrowhead?
Yeah, my lean is towards the Kansas City Chiefs, and I'll tell you why. I said that, you know, watching the Buffalo Bills against the Baltimore Ravens, I obviously had the defense in mind, but like I said, I wanted to see more of an explosion on offense. I wanted to see them put up more than 17 points, because if you put up 17 points against the Kansas City Chiefs, I guarantee you, you're not going to have a very good chance of winning that game. So I think the Buffalo Bills are going to have to do something that we haven't seen them do so far in the postseason, and that's put up a lot of points. So my early lean is right to the Kansas City Chiefs. Like you said, I do think that Patrick Mahomes is going to be okay, that he's going to suit up, and that he's going to have a good game. So I have the Kansas City Chiefs having a chance to defend their title here in 2021.
Jordan Dejani from CBS Sports, their guest. We're talking NFL. Let's talk briefly about the NFC Championship game, because this is two of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the league. You got the GOAT, right, with all the rings and trophies and Tom Brady. And you've got the presumed should have been the three Super Bowls or something, semi-GOAT in Aaron Rodgers. He finally gets to have an NFC Championship game at home at Lambeau Field. He's got a very good team who was in the title game last year but lost to San Francisco. Who wins this one? What do you like on each side if someone has an advantage here in this big NFC Championship game?
Yes, semi-goat. I like that term. Aaron Rodgers put together what is really an MVP campaign with the Green Bay Packers, and you love to see it because he's been playing with a chip on his shoulder for the past couple of years, right? They bring in Matt LaFleur. How is he going to get along with Aaron Rodgers? Well, they go to the NFC Championship game the following year. Their cap is a clear candidate to regress, but yet again, here we are in the NFC Championship game, and Aaron Rodgers has not regressed at all, so that's great to see if you're a Packers fan. But when it comes to this Buccaneers team, you know, it was very interesting watching their game against the Saints because it was really the defense that ruled the day, right? I mean, they held Drew Brees to just 134 passing yards. They picked him off three times, forced four total turnovers. Devin White proved he's one of the best linebackers in the league. He had like 11 tackles, recovered a fumble, caught an interception. It was really about the defense, and that's why I'm excited to watch this matchup against this great Green Bay offense. But in terms of my early lean, it is towards the number one seed Green Bay Packers. And that's interesting because with this new playoff format, it kind of shows you the importance of acquiring that first round bye. I think a lot of articles are going to be written about that if we see the two number one seeds face off in the Super Bowl. But, you know, Tom Brady's been good. He's definitely brought a resurgence to Tampa Bay, got them back to the postseason. But it's hard for me to imagine, to see, to believe that Tom Brady and the Buccaneers are going to the Super Bowl over this great Green Bay team that, like you said, gets the home field advantage of Lambeau.
And listen, when they played early in the year, the Bucs manhandled them. They were down 10-0, ended up, you know, scoring all the rest of the points for the game. Aaron Rodgers only threw five picks this year. He threw two in that game, one for a pick six. What did the Bucs do that day that worked, and can they recreate that and make this more difficult on Rodgers?
Yes, Don, I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, I think the Packers were up 10-0 in that game, and then a pick six began what was a 38-0 run. I think the Buccaneers won 38-10 that game. So, I mean, it's pretty obvious, right? They need to play a full game. They need to play well for four quarters of football. And that's something that I think they've mastered as the regular season progressed, because that when they met, it was in week six, and we've seen this Packers team improve since then. Containing Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette's going to be a big deal. I think Ronald Jones had like 113 yards and two scores. So stopping this Buccaneers offense is going to be big, but obviously playing a full game is going to be important. And, you know, like I said, with Aaron Rodgers playing with the chip on his shoulder, you know he has not forgotten that blowout loss. That was one of the worst games he played this season. It probably was the worst game he played this season. So now that he has a chance to rematch again with Tom Brady in the NFC Championship game, it's hard not to lean towards Aaron Rodgers to come out with the win.
Now, we already know Tom Brady's the GOAT, right? He's got six rings, been to all the Super Bowls. If he goes to the Super Bowl, much less wins, if he goes to the Super Bowl in year one with no offseason on a team that was okay last year, they won seven games, I mean, what do you do then? I mean, do you name the Hall of Fame after him? It's incredible what he's been able to go down there and do.
Yeah, exactly. Name all the awards after him. But you're right. I mean, it does take us – we should take a step back and examine that possibility, because the biggest thing to me – you know, Tom Brady is the GOAT. He's one of the best quarterbacks to ever do it. But here's the thing. As a change of scenery is a challenge for anybody, and it's impressive that Tom Brady at age 72 was able to undergo that change of scenery, go down to Tampa and lead this team all the way to the Super Bowl if that's what he ends up doing. It's early, obviously, but it certainly looks like he has won – that debate, Bill Belichick versus Tom Brady. You're right. It's absolutely incredible what he's been able to pull off, and we'll just be saying that again if he's able to come out on top on Sunday.
Well, he just goes to all the conference championship games every year. I mean, it didn't go last year, but he was ahead of the streak of, you know, double digits, and now he's back there this year. It's amazing stuff. You got your lean on the Packers. That's so you think they're going to win the game?
Yep, I do. I like what the defense has done through the early stages of the postseason, which is something that I was obviously keeping an eye on, and this offense is going at full steam. So I think the Packers are the more complete team. I think consistency plays a big part into it as well. So my early lean is towards the Green Bay Packers.
Well, that'd be Super Bowl I all over again before I was born. I think before you were born as well, Packers and Chiefs, if it happens that way. Thanks so much for your time, Jordan Dejani from CBS Sports. You can follow him online at Jordan Dejani. That's D-A-J-A-N-I on Twitter. Check him out on CBS Sports. Thanks for your time on the Red Zone tonight, and enjoy this championship Sunday.
Anytime. Thank you so much.
That's Jordan Dejani from CBS Sports on the Red Zone, brought to you by CBD American Shaman. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Aaron Ladd from KSHB Sports, talk about all the good stuff they have coming up this week as the Chiefs get ready to play the Bills. Welcome back into Red Zone here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, brought to you tonight by CBD American Shaman. It is championship game week in Kansas City, hosting the Buffalo Bills on Sunday out at Arrowhead Stadium. And the official partner of the Kansas City Chiefs is KSHB. We're going to have a chance to talk now to Aaron Ladd from the sports department down there. First of all, how you doing tonight, Aaron? Have you had enough? I mean, you're new to Kansas City. Have you had enough of Chiefs fever now? Have you got a full indoctrination of how crazy this town gets with this?
You know, it has been a fun ride. I'm glad to be a little bit a part of it. And this week has been my full barbecue week. So I'm on Q39. I had 39 yesterday, and we'll go for Gates today.
Oh, got it all, man. Hey, you know, you could go months and eat something different every day in Kansas City. That's the fun part about that for sure. Let's talk a little bit about what you guys have coming up on KSHB. I know you guys are doing a special every night at the end of your 6 o'clock newscast. You're filling this time up, getting all this Chief stuff going as the official partner of the Chiefs. That part must be fun. What have you guys got going this week that's special?
That's the most exciting part. Road to Repeat is the special that we're airing 6:45 every day on Big 41. You'll be able to catch all the exclusive interviews. We had a one-on-one with Chad Henne, asked him how he got those legs moving at the end of the divisional game to kind of seal that there, along with the pass to Tyreek Hill. But plenty of opportunities to talk Chiefs, and there's a little injury news as well that we've been talking, so you don't want to miss that. That's on Big 41.
Yeah, it's a little bit like that, right? People have got to go know what's going on with Patrick Mahomes. I think this is an interesting story just because, obviously, it's the MVP of the league 2 years ago, the MVP in the champion Super Bowl, the most high-profile player in the league. And he got injured in a high-profile playoff game. And then it's just all this intrigue. Is it a nerve? Was he choked out? Does he have a concussion? He's in concussion protocol. I think it's interesting that Andy Reid never says the word concussion. You know, we talked to him on Sunday and on Monday. He said the word protocol on Monday, but he didn't say the word concussion. I don't know if that's just like bad juju for him. He's like, I don't want to say the word. If I don't say it, it's not real. What have you thought about being involved with this story and kind of seeing how this thing gets treated?
The Chiefs keep everything extremely close to the vest, Todd. I mean, to get Andy Reid, it seemed like he wanted to say that C word, but he couldn't get it out just yet. And then we see all the differing reports this week. It's a neck. It was a choke out. It wasn't really a hit to the head. When I saw it, it didn't originally look as one of those hits that you would think is going to have you seeing stars. But obviously, when he gets up woozy, I knew immediately he's not coming back into the game. With the way the protocol has been since the league revamped it in 2017, players have to almost be perfect to get back that next Sunday with the different training, the different trainings, and the different tests that they're put through. Obviously, everyone in the city and around the area crossing their fingers, toes, and anything they can that he's healthy and ready to go on Sunday. But we'll just have to wait and see, right?
We're speaking with Aaron Ladd from KSHB Sports, and everyone's a doctor when you're watching on, and everyone on Twitter's a doctor, right? We went through this last year when Mahomes had his kneecap dislocated on the Thursday night football game out in Denver. You know, all these people are, oh, that's 8 weeks, it's a year, it's all this stuff. And then, you know, he's playing 2.5 weeks later. So my guess is the good sign for the Chiefs was that he ran to the tunnel and ran down the stairs and up the tunnel. Right? That's not something that someone who's totally knocked out or super concussed could do within a minute of that happening, I guess. But they do follow up, and they do this for a reason. The union wanted this. This is the protocol they wanted. They wanted independent people looking at their players to make sure they weren't forced by the teams to go participate when they shouldn't be able to do that. And that, in the end, is a good thing for the players and the union, correct?
100%. And I asked Reed, Coach Andy Reed, just that much, what's different from when the protocol was changed and revamped in 2017? And it's to protect everyone involved, not just the player who, now that they run down the tunnel and are back in the locker room, feels better and knows what's going on, but also the trainers who are involved in that decision, the coaches who are involved in this decision. I mean, these are some of the most competitive guys on planet Earth. They want to go. They want to play no matter what the situation is. But when we're talking about your brain, Todd, this is not an ankle. This is not a hip. This is your brain. And when you see some of the reports that have come out from former players about the injuries they sustained to their brain later in life and how that impacts their emotions, how that impacts everything that goes on in their daily life, you need to pause in these situations. You need to have that competitive juice turned down just a little bit and say, let's have the best interest of everybody involved in this situation.
It's crazy. Players want to play. I mean, football's a hard game, okay? If you don't like contact, you know, getting hit, hitting people, you quit football in eighth grade, okay? And that's what you do. And, you know, Mahomes is a tough guy, right? He wanted to get back in that Denver game last year when his knee kept dislocated because they popped it back in place. He's like, I'm good. I can go do this. Like, no, you can't go do this. You're too important. We can't allow you to go do that. So there's that whole, you know, franchise side. They got a lot invested in this guy. And there's Patrick Mahomes from his side, his health. But the other side of it is, you don't know what tomorrow may bring as far as whether or not you're going to have a team that looks like they can go to the Super Bowl again. People want to go win. They're all competitors. My feeling right now when we're talking here on a Tuesday night is I think Mahomes will play. I think he's probably on the lower end of any concussion protocol scale on being hurt. And I think if he's anything like getting through everything else, he will rocket through that. And he'll be back there practicing by the end of the week. And I think it's going to take a lot to keep him from this game because he knows how important it is. What's your feeling as we are here on a Tuesday on whether or not he's going to be able to go suit up on Sunday against the Bills?
Well, before I spoil it for the entire audience here on 810, I will say, you talked about if you don't like contact, quitting football in the eighth grade. I think you read my bio before I came on. That's exactly what I did. Maybe got hit and saw stars once and said, you know what, I'm going to try this whole newspaper thing, sports journalism thing, see how that works out.
I made it to ninth grade freshman football. That's all I did. That was enough for me. I'm same.
Gut feeling on Mahomes. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. Maybe I'm the one guy who works in sports media in the city that doesn't have a great feeling about it, but I just don't know. I mean, you could have, with a concussion, and I heard this from Stefania Bell on ESPN, great injury analysis. She did great work with Alex Smith and that Project 11 series, mm-hmm. but she always talks about how a concussion is a non-linear injury. You know, if you have an ankle sprain, you're trending upwards, you're upwards, you can play with a pain tolerance, but injury with concussions, you can have good days and bad days. Let's say Mahomes feels great all the way up until Thursday. They work him back into the practice. He's going through the protocol. And then the light sensitivity hits, or maybe an emotion thing hits. It's back to square one from that point. Everything has to go perfect, and I'm taking the field. Maybe I'm the Debbie Downer.
Well, and the interesting thing is, then at that point, you have to trust the player, okay? Because if he knows how the – I'm not talking about just about Patrick – a player in general knows how the protocol works, and he knows that if he steps back and he's not symptom free, he goes all the way back to step one. That's when it's in their own mind and body and what they're thinking about their future. Do I want to lie about this and say no, I'm fine, or do I want to be honest? And that's where you have to have this real honesty, not with the medical staff, within yourself, right? And that's the toughest part for these competitors, is to be entirely honest with themselves and the medical staff about how they feel. And I think it's really one of these incredibly tough situations because these guys are so freaking competitive.
100%. And this city, forever indebted to Patrick Mahomes. I don't think anybody bats an eye if he says, you know what, I'm not 100% ready to go. This is a guy who's got a daughter on the way, a family ready, just signed a $500 million contract. He'll be here in Kansas City. It's a tough situation, Todd. I wish we weren't talking about this, but here we are on a Tuesday, unsure of what things are going to look like on Sunday.
Exactly. Everything's in 2020 and 2021. It's been day-to-day. We know that. Hey, let's talk a little bit about the game. Last time the Chiefs played the Bills, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire had a monster game. The Bills played a certain style of defense where they just left it open to the run. Clyde practiced sort of last week, limited on Wednesday, and then didn't practice and, of course, didn't play in the game. He's an important part of this as well. I mean, because I love what Darrell Williams did the other day. I thought he was kind of like the unsung MVP of the game. But Clyde was really good up in Buffalo and kind of knifed them a little bit more than someone like Darrell Williams probably could.
The most rushing attempts under an Andy Reid offense was in that game. I wonder if we dig that playbook back out and see it again this Sunday. Talk about Darrell Williams some more, man. Underrated MVP. He should have been the MVP. Stepped in. Nobody was saying his name. It was all we were expecting, a big dosing of Le'Veon Bell against the Browns, but it was Darrell who came in and added some stability to the offense, some chunk plays at the end to get Chad Henne a little more confidence and get his feet under him. I'm confident in Darrell Williams if we're going back to him this Sunday to carry the load in what was 91 yards last week and added about 15 in the passing game. More of that, please.
Yeah, pretty good. And the thing that I've been watching on Chiefs defense that I'm not seeing enough of is pressure on the quarterback from the down lineman, okay? Legarius Sneed got a sack last week. That's great, right? Find a way, Spags. You know, draw up whatever you can to make something happen. But they're not getting there really for the last half of the year with the down four. Is there a way to change that, or are they just going to have to gut it up and try to get back there and get after Allen? Because I have some concerns that L'Jarius Sneed could tackle Josh Allen when he gets there. You kind of need to send a big guy to get him.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing since I showed up in Kansas City. Where's this high-priced sack nation that we shelled out all this money for? We're definitely going to have to see more of that at a consistent level. This is a guy who likes to run. This is a guy who likes to extend plays with his legs on the outside of the pocket. Contain is going to be extremely important. Sitting in the edge is extremely important. Tyrann Mathieu, another unsung hero, since we're talking about unsung heroes, extremely physical from the first snap. Only 18 rushing yards for the Browns in the first half last week. I mean, I take a second dosing of that. I don't know about you, Todd.
Yeah, Tyrann Mathieu was great. I mean, that's probably the most complete game that he's played all year. I mean, he was huge in the game for him, and they need that, right? If they're not getting it up front, Tyrann has to be able to get the job done elsewhere. All right, so it's Tuesday. We're not going to hold you this because we don't know who's going to play quarterback. But what's your feel right now? Who wins this game?
Ooh. Oh, we don't know who plays quarterback. We don't know some other key injuries. We'd love to see Sammy Watkins get a couple practices.
Bashaud Breeland is in the protocol.
As well. There's a lot up in the air. Maybe I'm eating a little too much barbecue this weekend. I think the Chiefs go back to the Super Bowl.
That'll be something. Now, you are from Atlanta. Your Falcons got a new coach. What do you think of this Arthur Smith hire?
Oh, I love what he did with Ryan Tannehill. He looked like a completely different quarterback, very, very confident, and knew what he had to do with the ball. A lot of this is clouded by what Derrick Henry did this year, right? 2K, I mean, I could run a lot of the plays that they were doing through Madden. I'm confident. I'm cautiously optimistic is the word I'll say. Let's see what they do with the fourth overall draft pick. But he's got a lot to work with. We'll see what the rumors are with Matt Ryan this offseason and a lot of quarterbacks moving around different places. He's got a lot to work with. I need some production.
And in the NBA, the Hawks right now are above the playoff line. Now, they ain't been any good in forever. Now, I went to Oklahoma, so I love Trae Young. I don't know what he's going to do with them. Can the Hawks finally make the postseason? When's the last time they're in the postseason?
Oh, man.
When you were like a kid?
No. Come on now. They went undefeated in January my freshman year at the Zoo with that five all-star team, Korver, Millsap, and all those guys. There's a lot. The Hawks are actually surprisingly deep. This is not an NBA talk, but I'm going to give you a little bit of it.
I asked for it, man.
They go 8 or 9 deep. A lot of the pressure, I believe, is on head coach Lloyd Pierce. He's got to be able to mold young personalities as well as develop some of these players into their own. John Collins is a potential all-star, as well as Trae Young, who was an all-star starter last year. Let's bring along Cam Reddish. Let's bring around Kevin Huerter. A lot of guys that need to see more ball, and there's only so much ball to go around when Trae Young has one of the highest usage rates in the NBA since he came into the league. So yeah,
sometimes he shoots too much. I don't know. You know, I watched him at Oklahoma. Like, dude, pass it every once in a while, and he still had a lot of assists. But it was like, how about some more? But you know, whatever. He's good. He's fun to watch, and he's good for the NBA, I think. It's good to see a guy get after it and take some fun shots and stuff like that. So it'll be good.
I got an ice trade jersey for you. Wait, man. I got you.
There we go. Let's get after it. When you go to Oklahoma, you only have a choice to root for a couple of teams because it's not like we're loading the NBA up with people. So
Oh, Blake Griffin. Right?
I got Blake and Buddy Hield, you know. But okay, Buddy plays for the Kings. Who do they even exist? I don't even know what happens out there. They're never on.
No.
So, it's different. Trey's my guy for now. It's East Coast time. I can see them on TV every once in a while. It's pretty good. Hey, Aaron Ladd from KSHB, thanks so much for coming on with us tonight on the Red Zone. We'll be watching every night this week at 6:45 on Big 41, and you guys have a bunch of stuff coming on Sunday. Get some barbecue in you because you're going to be working hard this week, man.
Awesome, folks. We'll see you then. Thanks, Todd.
All right, there's Aaron Ladd. That's going to do it for us tonight here on Red Zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Joshua Briscoe's coming up next with Almost Entirely Sports.